There's some Bibles right in front of you in the pews. We're continuing on in our series that we started. I think this is the fourth week. We started a series called Running Free, and it comes from one verse in the Bible. It comes from the verse Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, which says, "Let us lay aside every weight or every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance that is marked out for us." And the idea is that God has marked out a race. He has a path for us to run on, that every single one of us, we have a plan that God has preordained for us to run. He has a lane on this track that he has marked out for us to run this race. And he says this race is not an easy race because it takes perseverance. But as you're running this race, you got to watch out for some things that will trip you up. He says you have to lay aside every hindrance, right? And the sin that so easily entangles. And those are two different categories. He says a hindrance is like a weight, right? It's a weight. It's something that slows you down. It's like when you see a guy running track, you know, Usain Bolt, he takes that, you know, he's wearing a real skin tight, you know, clothes, little shorts and tank top. You don't see guys wearing boots or, you know, big sweat, you know, jackets or anything like that. So they go lean because they don't want anything to hinder them. So for us to run this race, he says, if you want to run this race that God has for you, you got to take out those things that hinder you. Those things that hinder you are not necessarily bad things. They're not necessarily sin, but they still slow you down. Right? There's some things in our lives that are not necessarily bad, but that you know it gets in the way of you staying on that track. He says, that's one category. And he says, and also the sin that's so easily entangled. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It's a snare. It's a trap. You know, it's something that you get tangled up in a thorn bush and you just can't go anymore. So those are two categories. You know, sometimes it's easier for us to spot the sin and we're like, okay, I got to stay away from sin. I know where that is. I'll stay away from that. But we don't realize that we also have these hindrances, these weights, because they're not necessarily wrong things. They're just not necessarily the best things. Okay, so we talked about the past 2 weeks. One of the obstacles is our past pain. We got to deal with our past pain. How do we deal with that? We got to turn our pain. Transform your pain, or you will transfer your pain. Right? We said we got to And then last week, Pastor Tom talked about covering up our sin. That's something that is also another hindrance. To walk around like as if everything's okay. Walk around with a mask, pretend that we're all good, right? And he says, instead, we need to learn how to confess our sin and to be okay that we're not okay because God has forgiven us. Because the more we hide our sin, the more we play this game and it hinders us. Today, we're going to talk about another obstacle. And I think, honestly, it's an obstacle that I deal with personally. And it's an obstacle that I think is really dangerous because it's subtle. You don't realize you're doing it. And it is the obstacle of religion. The obstacle of religion. And let me try to define what religion is. Religion, in my definition, okay, is a system of belief in which man tries to please God by his own effort. It's when we try to earn God's favor, we try to please God through doing good deeds. God, if I do this, you'll love me more. If I do this, you'll bless me. And that sounds like a good thing. Isn't that good? That's why it's so dangerous. It sounds like a good thing, but it actually hinders you from running this race that God has for you. And myself, I personally struggle with this because I started following God as a teenager. I didn't grow up in a church. I don't know, a lot of you guys grew up in churches or not. I didn't grow up in a church. I actually, my family was involved in gangs and drugs. My brother's in and out of jail. I got four older brothers. All got in trouble. And I rebelled against the family to go to church. They're like, "What are you doing going to church?" You know? And they're all upset at me because I'm like, I'm the rebel because I started going to church. And they're like, "Oh, this is weird, okay?" So as a teenager, I came and I was all messed up and, you know, like I just had a picture of, okay, this is my life. And then when I started going to church, I just realized, you know what? I don't really match up with everyone. So it's up to me to fix myself. You know, so my life was messy. I tried to clean myself up. So I was like, I had a list of all these different things I need to do. I need to go to church. I got to start reading the Bible. I need to start making good choices. I got to break some bad habits because I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be accepted by God. And in my mind, that time in my life was all about, I need to do more, try harder, become better. And it was about me working and make new commitments. God, I promise that I'm going to do this. God, I promise I will never do that again. But guess what? I always failed. You know, I would mess up again and again. I would fall back into those old sinful patterns. And I would make commitments and go, okay, God, I'm serious. No, I'm not never going to do that. Oh, God. And then you mess up. Then I fail. Right? I fail. And one of my favorite authors, his name is A.W. Tozer. He one of my favorite books is called The Knowledge of the Holy. If anybody got a Kindle, right, it's free. You can get it for free on a Kindle. Okay? Or 99 cents. It's a good book. He starts off this book. He says this. He says, he's a congregationalist, isn't he? No, he's not. That's not. Jonathan Edwards, John Congregationalist. Okay. A.W. Tozer says this. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Right? It's like when you think about God, what comes in your mind, that picture you have about God, that's the most important thing about you, because your picture of God is going to determine how you act in this life. Right? So when I closed my eyes at that time period in my life, when I pictured God, you know what I saw? I saw my dad. Right? And that's not a good thing. Because my dad, I grew up with a dad that was always disappointing me. Always. I was just telling Sean this, right? He just got straight A's, right? I think I'm kind of a smart guy. I've never gotten straight A's in my life. And I remember, going to my dad and honestly, really proud. I worked really hard and I was trying to earn his favor. I was like, God, Dad, I want you to be proud of me. I worked really, really hard. I got four A's and two B's, best report I ever had. I said, Dad, look at this. He says, how come you got those two B's? Why didn't you get all A's? I'm like, you serious? And no matter what I did was not good enough, right? Even when I saw my brothers getting in and out of jail, my mom crying because my brother's in jail, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do that to my mom. I'm gonna start going to church. My dad, he's like, why are you going? Because he was Buddhist. He was like, why? And he was like, why are you going to church? And he disapproved of that. I was like, I'm trying to get better here. Right? I'm trying. He's like, he disapproved of that. It's like, no matter what I did, it disappointed him. He always pointed out the negative things, and I felt like. I never felt like I was good enough. I never felt like he was going to be pleased with me. So guess what? I stopped trying altogether. I was like, Dad, I don't care what you think about me, right? This is the thing. I'm actually kind of a smart guy. You know, I'm working on a doctorate. You're going to have to call me Reverend Doctor pretty soon, right? Don't just call me by my first name when I pay for this degree, right? Reverend Doctor, right? I gave up, and I nearly dropped out of high school, right? This is no joke, right? I graduated high school with a 1.6 GPA, because I just didn't care. My dad, I don't care what he did, right? 1.6 GPA. Honestly, I went to the most ghettoest school in LA Unified School District, and half the people didn't graduate anyway, so I was on the top half of the school anyways, right? So if I was at any other school, they would have kicked me out. Because I didn't even show up. I, like, you know, good thing for ghetto schools, because I wouldn't have, you know, I would have had to. Praise God for that. God provides, right? You don't know. So I took my mental picture of my dad into my relationship with God. God, I'm trying to please you. What do you want me to do? Let me read the Bible. Let me get some new friends. Let me try to go to Bible study. Let me try to stop these habits. Let me try to do this. And then I kept on seeing that same face. Just my dad. It's not enough. So that's not enough. You got to do more. You think that's good enough? You got to do more. And that's how I saw God. That someone who would be never happy with me. Just like, nice try. That's not enough. And I think we all can relate to that on a certain level, no matter what type of background you come from. Maybe you grew up in the church or you didn't, maybe you grew up Catholic, or, you know, my family grew up Buddhist, whatever. You grew up in the church, no church. I think we all have this question. Because you're in church today, you're probably asking this question: what does God want from me? What must I do to make God happy with me? How do I please God? And we ask these questions, and each of us in our mind, we have a list of things that we think we need to do to change. We each have a list of things that we need to fix about ourselves. Well, I got to stop my bad language. I got to stop hanging out with these people. I got to control my anger. I got to stop spending money that I don't have. I got to read the Bible. I got to go to church. I need to break this back. So you have all this list of things that you need to do, and you're thinking, you know what? If I do all these things, maybe God will be happy with me. Maybe God, and that's religion lying to you, speaking lies, and that you need to do something to earn God's favor. That's a problem of religion, right? That it's subtle. You think you're doing something good, but it actually harms and it puts a roadblock in your relationship with God, right? And this is the good news. Okay, the good news is this: even though that's a reality that we live in, we're not the only one. The Bible, like, people throughout history have dealt with this. In the Bible, the people in the Bible dealt with it. There's actually a whole book in the Bible deals with this issue. It's the book of Galatians. We're not going to talk about it, but if you want to read it, the book of Galatians, there was this whole church dealing with this, and they were all about following rules, and they're like, you got to do this, you got to keep this code, because if you don't, God's not going to be happy with you. And they had all these lists of rules, and then the Apostle Paul writes in this letter, he's like, and he's actually very condemning. He's actually very harsh in this letter. And he's like, who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? Yeah. Like, why are you thinking this way? That's so idiotic. You think that you need to do all these things to earn God's love. He says, you're not acting as sons. You're acting as slaves. Right? He tells him, he says, because what you're doing, he says, you're alienating yourself from God. You're stumbling on your race because you're putting these roadblocks that don't need to be there, right? So this is what I want to do today. I want to share with you a story that you, if you've been in church for a little bit, you've heard this story in multiple times. It's the story of the prodigal son. Okay, we're talking about this story, one of my favorite stories, but it's a story. It's so deep because I'm still learning, but it's the story is about two sons, right? A father has two sons, and it's called the prodigal son, but it's actually not about one lost son. It's a story of two lost sons, right? The younger son gets lost because of his sinful rebellion, but the older son gets lost because of his religion, right? And we're going to focus not, because usually when you hear this message, you focus on the younger son, you know, hey, turn back from your sin. But I want to focus on the older brother, right? The religious guy. And we're going to try to learn some things, some lessons about what religion does to a person. So let me set up this story, and then I'll read. It's in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11. I'll paraphrase the first half, and then I'll start reading from verse 25. But Jesus tells this parable, and he says, there was a father, rich guy, has two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, I want your stuff, but I no longer want a relationship with you. Give me my share of the inheritance so I can take it and leave this house, because I don't really want to hang out with you anymore. I don't respect you that way. I just want to be my own guy. Just give me what's owed to me so I can leave. So the father at that point, brokenhearted, gives his younger son the inheritance. And he says, this man, he's like, he took his stuff. He says, he set off for a far-off country, and he squandered his wealth in wild living, right? He was making it rain at the club every night. That's what he was doing, right? He was going out there. He was going there and going to the club, spending money and all this stuff. He had all these friends. He was partying. He was like, oh, this is awesome, right? Right? He bought all this stuff and, you know, made all these friends. But guess what? Money went away. It says that country went into a recession and had a drought, lost all his money. Because he lost all his money, he lost all his friends. And he had to go get himself a job. And at that point, him being a Jewish boy, the only job he could find is the worst imaginable job for a Jewish boy, which is to feed pigs. Now, this is a rich Jewish boy. Now, he, you know, he had manicured fingers. You know, he had servants. It was like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. He's like, wipers! Remember that? That's my favorite movie, by the way. That's awesome. Hakim from Zamundi, right? Something like that, right? I know that too. He was a rich boy, and the only job he could find was to feed pigs. You've been around a pig, man? That's not, I don't even want to, like, ooh, right? I like pork, though. And he was so hungry, he says he wanted to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. As he was feeding them the leftover trash from the back of the restaurant, he's like, man, that pig's eating better than I am. At that point, he came to his senses. He thought to himself, he says, how many of my father's servants are living better than I do? They get, you know, three hots and a cop, right? They got a place to live. They got food. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father. And I says, Father, and he rehearses this in his mind. Father, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I've sinned against you. I don't even expect you to see me as your son, but I'm coming here to beg for a job. Can you just give me a job? Now, I'll sweep up and I'll live in the barn. You don't have to let me be in the house, but I just can't feed the pigs. I just can't do that anymore. Can I just have a job? Right? So he sets off on his way home to go to his dad. And his dad sees him a long way off, and he's like, is that my son? That's my son. And the thing was, his dad was probably out on the balcony looking for his son. He's like, maybe this is the day my boy comes back home, right? And when he sees him, he doesn't wait. He's like, oh, this is all right. He's coming back. I knew it. Okay. He doesn't, you know, wait. The father just... He jumps down and he says he starts running to his son, right? You're a rich old dude. Like you don't need to be running, but he's like, I don't care what people think of me, I don't care. And he's running to his son, and he comes and he hugs his son, throws his arms, and he starts kissing him, and then his son starts, Dad, and he tells him this rehearsed, Dad, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, and I don't deserve to be called your son, but would you give me a job in your barn? And then he was like he didn't even hear that. He says he calls to his servants. He says, go get a robe for my son. Go get the best robe. Put sandals on his feet. Get the ring, the signet ring that signifies him as a member of the family. You know what a signet ring is? Right? A signet ring is like when you sign a contract back then, you didn't sign a signature, you had a ring, and when you use that ring and you press it into the wax mold, and you said, basically, this is saying, son, you are a full member of the family, and you have the same authority as I do. I'm going to give you my name back, and you could go and do business in my name, and don't, this business about you working for me, don't worry about that. You're my son, right? So he does that, and then he says, kill the fatted calf, you know, one we were saving for Christmas, kill that, we're going to have barbecue today, because my son, who was lost, is now found, he was dead, he's now alive, right? So they bring musicians in, they start barbecuing, they're smelling, oh my goodness, this smells good, it's like music everywhere, and this is where we get to the older son. The older son's working hard on the field. He's smelling. Is that barbecue? It's a Thursday. What is that barbecue? Like, is that music? Is that what? They're playing Cool in the Gang, you know, Celebration? What are they doing? What is that? That's my first song at my wedding, you know? You think I'm all Asian like this, okay? I play Kung the Gang, right? You know what my first dance was? It was Heat Wave, you know? It's like, you think I'm all Asian like that? That's all right. I'll let you think that. So, one of my first date with my wife, I took her to Kung the Gang concert. Yeah, that didn't go well. She didn't like it. So this is verse 25 in Luke 15. Okay. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He came near the house and he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of his servants and he asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come. He replied, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Right? Did the older brother get happy? The older brother became angry and refused to go in. It's like, I'm not, what? Is it a party for him? So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answers his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. Say, this ain't right. You never done any of this stuff for me. I've been working hard. I've been trying to follow these rules. You didn't celebrate anything with me. This ain't fair. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. This is what the father says. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again and he's lost and is found. So this is what I want to pull out some lessons about what religion does to a person. Because Jesus was telling this story about religious people. He was telling this story to a bunch of Pharisees that were judging a bunch of tax collectors and sinners. Because Jesus says, I'm God's representative, and I come here and I'm hanging out with all these sinners. And all these Pharisees over here, it's like, what are you doing eating with these sinners, right? If you're the Son of God, you should be hanging out with us, not with them. Why are you blessing them and not with us, right? So Jesus is like, well, let me tell you a story. Okay, there's older brothers and younger brothers, and you guys are like the older brother. You guys are all into religion. So in your notes, in your program, it should say why religion doesn't work and reasons why we should stop trying to leave God. Okay? There's five things, actually six things. I added one, but it didn't make Terry printed them out before I changed it. So let me give you six reasons why religion doesn't work. Okay? Religion meaning trying to do good things to earn God's favor. Why it doesn't work. Now, I got to go through this very fast. Number one, religion will rob you of your confidence and security. Religion will rob you of your confidence and security. I don't know if you can see that up there. If it's about you earning God's favor and love, when will it ever be enough? When are you going to do enough? Right? There's a lot of Christians out there who are trying to earn God's favor and trying to do all these things. But if that's what you have, if that's why you're setting, that's what you set up to if that's your plan, that I am going to earn God's favor and love by what I do, when's it ever going to be enough? This brother over here, this is working better. I think Brother Daniel over there talked about he had some friends or family in Jehovah's Witness. Right? Don't want to disrespect anyone, but this is what religion does. You know, Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door, right? Why do they do that? Right? Because they're trying to earn God's favor, and they believe only 144,000 get in. So if I sleep in on a Saturday, some other joker is going to jump me on my list. So I need to get up early and I need to do that every single week because I need to earn God's favor. And we look at that as like, ooh, that's kind of weird. But Christians think the same way, right?
If I don't go to church every week, if I don't read the Bible, if I mess up, man, God is not pleased with me. Right? So it takes away your confidence and your security. If that's the way you see, you think you have to earn God's love, you're never going to have any security. You're never going to have any confidence. Okay? Secondly, what does religion do? What religion doesn't work? Religion will either lead to despair or pride. Despair or pride. Despair, like when you fail, it's just all despair. Like the younger son, he failed. My father won't. He won't even accept me. I don't even have a right to ask him to be my father again. You know, he didn't. He says, "Let me just work in your barn." Right? Despair is what I felt like. I'm not good enough. God won't accept me. You know. So if you fail, it leads you to despair. Right? But if you succeed, there's some people who are good at keeping rules, but if you succeed, it leads to pride. It's like, oh, God loves me because I'm just so lovable. I'm just so good. I'm awesome. You know me? Oh man, you should like me, right? So religion either like it leads to despair or pride. It doesn't lead to love. Does not lead to love. Number three, religion will rob you of your joy. Rob you of your joy. Everyone at that whole family was partying. Everyone was having a good barbecue. They were dancing. And there was this one angry who was like, I'm not going in there. I don't have nothing to do with this. He's condescending. He's judgmental. He's angry. And to be honest, this is what a lot of Christians do. You know, you see like Christian fundamentalists, you know, always angry and upset. This is funny. I actually went to a fundamentalist Christian Bible college, right? I got suspended one time, though, so I don't know. They didn't like me either. But it's like, I don't know why they call them fundamentalists. They're not very fun, right? I guess they're a little mental, but you see these Christians, like they say they love Jesus, but they're always angry. There's no joy. Because it's all about religion. Right? Number four, what does religion do? Religion makes you an ungrateful person. You're just not thankful. You're ungrateful. Just like this older son. He said this. This is not fair. This is owed to me. Right? And we do this all the time. I meet people, churchgoers, who get mad at God. God, why didn't you do this for me? And we have this, we think something like we deserve something. We have something coming to us. And we're not grateful for what we have, but yet we're angry for what we don't have. And we're mad at God. That's not fair. This is not right. It's owed to me, God. Right? Number five, religion will cause distance in your relationship with God. Will cause distance in your relationship with God. Like, he wouldn't go into the party with his father. Because he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm not having anything with this. You guys have your own thing. I don't want anything to do with this. And he thought he was right. And he didn't. He caused distance. And this is the idea, right? I have a lot of time to go into, but you guys know about what they call the bridge diagram about how, you know, like we're over here and God's over here and there's a big canyon, a big chasm in between, right? And the cross of Jesus is the bridge that allows us to cross over and have a relationship with God that we can't, you guys know that we can't cross over. It's only through Jesus that we can get to the other side. Right? So Christians believe that through Jesus, not because of anything I've done, through Jesus, we could come and have a relationship with God, and we could have communion with God, and we could have a relationship with God. We believe that, but the way we act is we act as if we're still on the other side. We act as if, you know, God's so far away. I need to shape up. I need to make good decisions. I need to do stuff because, and we put the distance between our relationship with God. Yeah. Right? Number six. This is a good one. Religion will rob you of your identity. Rob you of your identity. This is kind of, it's funny, yet it's heartbreaking. So the son, the older son, the older brother says this to his father. He says, "Father, I'm angry. This ain't right. Because I've been slaving for you. I've obeyed everything you told me to do. I've never left you. I've done everything you wanted me to do. But I can't, you won't even give me a little goat for me to have a little cookout with my friends. Yet this guy that messed up, you give him the best fatted calf to throw him a party." And he said, "That's not fair." And then the father's like, "This is why you're mad? You're mad because of a goat? You're mad because I didn't give you a goat?" And he's like, "Do you realize who you are? You're my son. Everything I have is yours. You want a goat? The whole stinking farm is yours. It got your name on it. You go out there, kill your own goat. It all belongs to you. Don't you realize who you are?" He's like, "You just want a goat? It's all yours." And religion robs us of our identity as sons and daughters of God. Right? And he says, you've been slaving for me? Who told you you were a slave? You're a son. This place belongs to you." Right? So this is the thing. This is an obstacle. It's an obstacle. You cannot follow God if you have this religious mentality that you need to earn God's love. Okay? Really quick, what are we going to do? What should I do? What is God's will? What does it mean? What does God really want for me? Write this verse down. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Three verses, very short, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, it says this. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let me say that again. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? God, what is your will for me? Right there. Number one, God's will. What does God want you to be? He wants you to be joyful. Be full of joy. It says, "Rejoice always." Find joy in everything. Right? Number two, be prayerful. He says, "Pray without ceasing." You know what that means? That doesn't mean you get on your knees all day long. You don't see anybody. He's like, "Hey, let's just keep talking throughout the day. Let's have a close relationship. You know, hey, text me your update, what you're up to. You know, tell me how you're doing. You know, let's talk. Let's have a relationship. Let me know how you're doing. You know, be prayerful. You know, have a relationship with me. Pray without ceasing. And thirdly, be thankful." Be grateful. Be full of gratitude. And Father's telling us, "I love you. I'm present with you. Everything I have is yours. I've given you everything that you need. Be thankful." Yes, yes. So what does God want from us? He doesn't want you to be a slave. He wants you to be a son. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to be in prayer and communication and close relationship. He wants you to be full of thanksgiving and gratitude in your heart. Right? Let me give you a closing thought. The cross of Jesus reminds us that even in our failure, rebellion, and sin, we were always well loved by God. If you're ever doubting if you're loved by God, just think about the cross. That the cross reminds us that no matter what, that what Pastor Terry said earlier, while we were still sinners, Christ demonstrates his love by dying for us. Right? You are well loved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you just for loving us. We thank you for, Lord, that even though we were slaves, you called us and adopted us to be sons and daughters. And Lord, how we, even though we fail, we are still loved. And I pray for the people here dealing with different things or struggling, I'm trying to figure out what you want them to do, Lord. I pray that right now your spirit would descend upon their hearts just to let them know that they are loved, that there isn't anything that they have to do to be loved, that they already are loved. Fill us with a heart of gratitude, Lord, so that we may spread your light to the city. In Jesus' name we pray.